Welcome everybody to today's webinar. Great to have you guys all on board. Now, as you can see, we're going to be doing the US obviously on a Tuesday end of the month, as we always do. And I'll just let you know where I'm sitting at the moment. So if there's any delays in speech, this is why. I'm actually sitting in the channel on a 46-foot catamaran just outside Hamilton Island, and I'm running the thing off my phone. So that's where I'm at. So if there's any delays in speech or anything like that, I do apologize. But I tell you what, Kathy's actually got this one covered. So I'm going to be crossing to her very, very shortly. Now we've got who we got? We've got Larry. You there, Larry? Lost him again. Kathy,
We
are you
got him.
there?
I'm here.
Hey, Kathy. What about you, Jessica? You on the line?
am here.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, since we can't hear Larry, I might actually go to this next slide here for you, Kathy. And we're talking about the
Okay.
improvement in the US economy. And I mean, this is what we've been talking about for the last 6 months, how the US is moving, and we've got we're getting some good results out of the US. But I tell you what, I've been saying this for the last 6 months now. If you want to do the US, you got to get on your bike. Or as Kathy would say, a boat would be better.
Yeah, boat would be better. Yeah, we like those trend lines moving in that direction. It's just been, I have never seen a real estate market turn as quickly as this. I haven't, I can't speak like some people who have been through many markets. Maybe, maybe this is their fourth up market or fourth cycle, and maybe other people have seen it, but it has really turned a corner. And if you blink, I mean, we just did a live event this weekend, and we had an American in the room talking about Florida, and it was last month's news. It's not today's news anymore. I had to say, you know what? You can't blink. You've got to pay attention. Florida has completely flipped, and so has much of the US. Yep.
Yeah, wow. So the
Is
retail
Larry
sales,
back?
no,
No.
the retail sales, as you can see there, it goes across the periods, and you can see where the recession officially was and what's happened since then. And retail sales are a good indication as to how an economy responds generally. And when your retail sales are up, it means people are spending. It means that things are improving, and it's certainly something to watch in the US. Now,
Absolutely.
this next one here, Kathy, we're talking about the US house pricing trend. Do you want to talk to this one?
Sure. I mean, this is the first time I saw this slide because Larry was going to talk to this, and we had him for a second, and
I
he's
think
out there somewhere.
he needs to buy a new microphone.
Yes, maybe. But this looks like it's a Case-Shiller. Let's see. Lisa speaking to Case-Shiller. The main thing I'm seeing here is, again, you see that massive peak there in home prices, 2006, 2007. You didn't want to be buying then, but we did. Lots of us did from 2005 to 2007, and bam, they went for a ride. And that ride went deep. And many economists are finally saying what you and I and Larry have been saying for years, which is the correction was overdone. And it was overdone to an extreme where prices went way under what they should be and way under what it would cost to build. And that left enormous cash flow on the table. But the world has recognized that. So that's everything's turning around. Hedge funds are buying, investors from all over the world are buying, first-time home buyers are back in, people who got foreclosed on are back in. They can get a government-backed loan after just 3 years of foreclosure or short sale or bankruptcy.
That's
So they're back in
incredible.
the market. And we don't, we're thick-headed over here. We don't learn quickly from our mistakes.
I tell you what,
But the truth.
that's a marked difference from Australia, because I mean, in Australia, if you go into through bankruptcy, you're 3 years in bankruptcy before you get discharged, and then realistically, it is really tough to buy anything for another 5 years, because it's 7 years in, or that's 8 years, but 7 years in total before it after disclosure that it actually goes off your credit rating. So, it's really, really tough over here in Australia, and I can't believe that, they're getting government-backed loans after 3 years. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, from a, you know, I think it's partly the American way that, you know, first and foremost, the American mentality is go out there, try something. If you fail, you know, you can't file bankruptcy all the time. In fact, you can only do it once, and I think you have to wait another, I don't know, 10 years before you can do it again or something. But the idea is, you know, go out there, take a risk. If it doesn't work, well, there's this thing called bankruptcy. And hey, corporations do it all the time, restructuring and letting go of debt in that manner. So, you know, it's not as unacceptable here. And then, you know, not with conventional loans. I mean, it's a little harder with conventional loans. You do have to wait longer, but these FHA loans, they're getting people back in the market. And from a financial perspective, you know, these people who lost their homes can buy them back for, you know, what, half of what they, you know, owned before. So they can afford it this time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you've got the right credit checks in place this time around.
Yeah. So, home building. We're going to be talking about that. I'm glad that Larry brought this slide to us. Builder confidence, after investing a fortune on research, are pulling permits and building houses. As you can see, they cannot build them fast enough to keep up with their determined demand. This is where the opportunities lies. This gap closes, so does the window of investor opportunity. This will be followed by a stabilization. I could not agree more. This looks like it's from Moody's Analytics. Right, we have gone from buyer's market to seller's market. And this is confusing terminology for some reason for a lot of people. A buyer's market is when it's a good time to buy, but it's probably the scariest time to buy. And it's the time that you told everyone to come here and buy. And it was scary because no one else was doing it. You know, but you've got to be a contrarian to be a good investor. You've got to kind of do get there before anyone else and take those risks and so forth. So, you know, in the buyer's market, when people are afraid to buy, that's when you have so much inventory. There's just a unlimited supply and very few buyers, and that means the buyer can negotiate because the seller's desperate. In the last couple of months, that completely flipped in most markets, where now the seller is the one in power. The buyer is negotiating and prices are going up. Very limited inventory, very limited supply, way too many buyers. So as a result, the builders are seeing prices going up. They're seeing that there's this glut. I mean, not this glut, there's no inventory, and there's a need. So again, we've been saying this for a while. There would be a time, and it would be awfully strange to go from so much inventory to none. But there would be a time when all of a sudden we'd be behind on building, and that's where we are today.
Yeah, because most of that that excess stock is now filtered through the market.
Well, you know, there's a lot of places where that stock kind of is going and went, but one of the big ones is that the banks have just had such a terrible time foreclosing. They're getting sued left and right. You know, they in some states, judicial states, it takes them 3 years to foreclose. Sounds more like what you were talking about in Australia. And so they just, you know, they just said, the heck with it. We don't want these lawsuits. We're going to just sell the note at a discount. Then someone else can foreclose or deal with it. We're out of it. So they have been selling, you know, billions of dollars worth of notes to hedge funds who are buying them for very cheap. And you know, for them, it's just easy to modify the loan at that point because they got it for so cheap, and they just keep the home buyer in there, but at lower payments. So, or they rent it out. Well, it's just not going on the market. That's part of the problem.
Well, Kathy, what I might do before we go into what you're going to talk about today is I'm going to make you the organizer. So have you got your computer ready? Because I'm going to flip across to you.
Okie dokie, it's ready.
Okay. Well,
Is
you're
it,
in
am
control
I?
very, very shortly.
I think I have to click something.
I think you have to say
Can you?
yes.
I do, don't I? Let's see if I can find that. It's not coming up on my screen. There's usually a little something that comes up and
Yeah, because I've
says,
given it across to you. It's on my screen. It says that you're the organizer.
it does. Okay, but you can't see my screen yet, right?
No, can't yet.
Okay, for some reason, I'm not seeing that little thing come up. And I'm trying to push show my screen, and it's not doing anything. Let me see what else I could do here. Okay, that didn't do it. Shoot, nothing's coming up.
Did you
Aw,
the
going so smoothly
slides?
there.
Are there very many slides? Could you maybe email them to me?
I could do that right now. I will. Let's
You
see how
do
that
that,
goes.
and then you can just talk about it while I get them and put them up. But then I'm not actually.
Okay.
Oh, we're both organizers, so I can still do that. That's good.
Okay.
So if you email them to me, I'll get them up.
Okay. Sending them. Oh my goodness, my computer is freaking out right now. Oh, what is this? I'm so sorry.
Best laid plans.
Oh boy, I'll tell you. Okay, share PowerPoint. Yeah, I'm PowerPoint, not Keynote, right?
Yeah, PowerPoint would be good.
It says it's a large file. We're going to try it anyway.
Oh, okay. What did you start talking about? What you wanted to talk about today?
Okay. All right. So I'll start talking, and it's really right in line with the what we were just talking about builders. And we went over this a little bit before. This is a similar project, and some people have already heard about it. It's in Florida, and I'll read to you what John Burns Real Estate Consulting has said recently. This is somebody who is a very well-known, very well-respected analyst for builders. The big institutional builders hire him for tens of thousands of dollars to give them data, probably more like hundreds of thousand dollars to give them data on their building processes and where they should go and how the market is and so forth. So this just came out recently from John Burns. I get a lot of information from him. He gives away a lot of it for free, and believe me, I get as much of the free stuff as I can because he's not cheap. But this was on Bloomberg News. The Florida housing market is booming. Now remember, this was one of the hardest hit markets. And again, if you blinked, you wouldn't know that it's turning, but it is. And that's good for you who, maybe you still own something out there. I don't know, but it's getting much better. He said home buyer traffic and sales are climbing rapidly through the state, leading to land prices. This is the part we're interested in. The land prices are rising rapidly. A large number of builders and developers in the region continue to bid up land prices. In some markets, land and finished lot prices have now surpassed peak levels. So builders are opting to buy raw, unentitled land just to get a market share. So again, in a seller's market, this is when builders are, have power. They can be successful because they can. There's demand for what they're building, and they don't have a lot of competition that's a lot cheaper. So in the buyer's market that we just had, builders couldn't compete because, we were out there buying almost new homes for half of what it cost, for them to build a new one. But that's changing as prices go up. So new home prices are increasing approximately 1 to 2% per month. That's some pretty good appreciation there. That might be what similar to what y'all are experiencing in Australia. Lotteries are back. We're projecting, this is again John Burns, double-digit home price appreciation in many Florida markets for 2013. So again, good news for Larry, and his business is probably booming, and Florida's hot again. There's a lot of traffic coming in from active adult markets. It's still a retiree destination. Builders are reporting a 20 to 25% increase in traffic and sales over the last year. And then foreign buyers, of course, foreigners love Florida. They're not buying just in Miami. They're buying in central Florida. They're just kind of buying all over the state because the deals are so good. Typically paying cash, and that's really helping drive prices up in Florida. foreclosures are declining. Now, Florida is one of those states that has a judicial foreclosure process, which means it takes forever to foreclose. It takes a minimum of 3 years. So that was really affecting the recovery of that state. But everything has changed now that a lot of those banks have just sold the notes. So now when foreclosures come on the market, they just sell almost instantly. Ah, show my screen. It just came up. Okay.
Can
you see my screen?
I had to click an extra button. I've been sitting here playing. And
okay.
It's my fault, not you.
Well, you know, you're doing it from a phone. I'm just impressed at that.
You should see what I can see here. I'm just looking at the water. It's gorgeous.
Oh, you know, you invited us there once, and
I know.
One of these times we'll go.
The invitation's still there. I'll take the sale.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, here it is. Can you see that?
Absolutely can.
The picture of Canon. Okay, all right. So this is what we're talking about here. This red piece, this is something that we did last fall in November. We presented the this commercial piece of land in Florida. It sold out very, very quickly. It's going to be a really incredible opportunity. So now we're talking about this whole part right here. The developer of this residential area heard about us because we bought this parcel next door and came to us with an even bigger and more amazing project. So again, we've mentioned this before, the bank failures and lack of construction is really sad. It's really, really sad for a lot of developers who have lost everything. We try to bring those people on board with us and have a little bit of the profit because, I mean, in this case, there's about maybe $70 million lost.
Wow.
for these developers. Yeah. So there's just an opportunity in the U.S. to come together and pick up these deals as a group. Most of us couldn't do it on our own. We would have no idea what to do with a project like this, and that's what makes it so attractive. It's complicated, and so this is not something that all the foreigners and all the first time buyers in this market, they couldn't do this. So there's less competition. Even hedge funds look at this and they scratch their head. They don't. You have to know this business inside and out, and so that leaves fewer buyers and better deals. Now, like we were saying, in a seller's market, what's the position you want to be in a seller's market is the seller. You want to have property, have something to sell, and that's why builders really love this, what we're headed toward in the seller's market. Again, in syndications in the U.S., these are pooled investments which fall under our securities laws, SEC Reg D, and so the good news is that it's not quite as strict for Australians as it is for U.S. investors. U.S. investors have to have $1 million net worth. They have to make $300,000. It's a whole bunch of restrictions, but for the Australians, you could just be sophisticated, which means that you understand and you've studied and you've learned, which you've all done through Cashflow USA, but you don't have to be a millionaire. Okay, so moving on. This is the property that we have just, the developer of this property has just come to us and said, we like what you did with this little red commercial piece over here. This is a 4,300 home master plan, 1,900 acres, just 30 miles north of Tampa, and a property that was known as Bella Verde. But I'll go into what is the old plan. It's a golf course. It's sort of a dated plan. There's sort of no need for new golf courses in Florida. There's plenty. So it's a stale proposal and just needs a little updating. Here's what I was saying with John Burns and the things he was saying about Florida. He said, with all these things that I just mentioned, there's still room for home prices to rise. The last thing any of us want is to get stuck in another bubble. But according to John Burns, despite these strong home price appreciation, affordability is still excellent. He says monthly payments in Orlando and Naples as a percentage of median income are the lowest they've been in 32 years. So we're kind of just at the beginning of this up cycle. And that's just wonderful for those of you who know this and aren't going to wait till it's too late. Okay, so just so you can see, I'm sure all of you know where Florida is, but this is the central part that we're talking about. There's Tampa. This is where Larry's calling in from. He's an expert in this area. Clearwater is just a beautiful beach right there by Tampa. And then this property is going to be right in here somewhere, right in Central Florida. Now, Central Florida is very popular because a lot of people are scared of hurricanes. And, you know, this area in here it's fairly protected from that. So it tends to be a very popular place for retirees and you know, people who just are, you know, nervous. So here it is again. It, again, was called Bella Verde, but this is the place. You could see Tampa Bay right here. Got the ocean here. It's a really nice location. I've got another map, but it was too big to take a picture, and I'm going to try to get it to you somehow. But it shows how all the new developments in Hillsborough County and so forth, all up here, this has all become very developed. And so the next phase of development is moving a bit north. Down here is already built. So builders are moving out this way. Here's an even closer look. This Highway 75, this was really interesting. We just had a meeting with the developer on Saturday. He met with a bunch of our investors. And this project, you know, the developer was supposed to pay for the widening of 75, this Highway 75 here. And just 2 months ago, the state of Florida said, you know, we're gonna go ahead and cover the cost. It's $32 million, and they are going to do the widening of 75, and they're starting soon, and that is no longer the responsibility of the developer. So unbeknownst to him, he was planning on doing it. He had budgeted it for it. He doesn't have to anymore. The only thing he has to do is straighten this road here. So, State Road 52 is going to come right through the project and head on out to another area over here to the right that's planned for a lot of housing. So they would have to, anyone who, you know, buys in this residential area would drive through here. They'd pick up their groceries here at that commercial piece that we closed out last fall, drive out to their homes or to the homes over here.
Kathy.
Oh, one more thing. This is, yeah.
You're talking about this particular project. I think we've got a few new people on the call, and just explain that, you know, from time to time you do these group buying opportunities of all different mm-hmm. varieties, and obviously the one that you talked about, the little red square, was one that you'd done already. Mm-hmm. So this is just another one that you know, you're working on right now. If people want to be involved in it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a group project. We haven't even opened it up yet. We just presented it Saturday. The attorneys are still reviewing the final paperwork. Yes, these are group projects. Some of our Australians really love these kind of projects because it's very, very passive, and it's managed by somebody with enormous, experience and expertise. So, you know, if you just want something that is going to have a high yield and, you know, get into property, but you're not involved in the management side, you might really like this. We are still huge proponents of single family homes. It's still, of course, my favorite investment is buying a home, ideally getting financing on it, getting your monthly cash flow and watching that grow. And we certainly have property managers here that will watch your asset and take care of your asset. But as many investors learn, you also have to manage your property managers. And here in the U.S., they're small companies, and sometimes something goes wrong, you know, maybe there's a divorce or a death in the family or a sickness or illness, and, you know, we got to quickly change property managers, and, you know, it's not totally passive, but, you know, the trade-off is is worth it for most people. You know, there it's, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, if you still have to really manage your property managers like we do here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a little more regulated than you guys have, but it's still got to be managed.
Okay. So, you know, some people just don't want to do that, or they just don't have enough money. You know, what we found is that, you know, if somebody wants to buy, let's say somebody has $50,000 they want to invest, by the time, you know, sometimes what you've got to really pay attention to, and this would be a good conversation to have with whoever, you know, Jessica or with, your team, Zipna, but by the time they come out here and pay the expense to come here, get the LLC set up, you know, get the accountant, get all the things in place that are needed to buy one property, you know, sometimes it really cuts into the cash flow. So, you know, we've found that some of the investors have come over and bought several properties. All those startup expenses, you know, they're spread out among all those properties. But if you have one property, it can be real expensive, and it really needs to be calculated into the equation. So in something like this, you don't have all those startup costs. So that's nice. But yeah, and again, we can talk about what some of those things are and what the kind of setup you would need to be in this project, which I believe could be less than the others. But that's your specialty, Dipna. So I'm not going to run in. You know, I'm not going to jump into that part of it.
Okay.
So Pasco County, it's the midpoint of Florida. I already said that is undergoing rapid transition. It's 30 miles. Tampa's just 30 miles south. 38th fastest growing county in the U.S. And here's the thing that I think is kind of shocking to a lot of our California investors is the median age is only 43. You know, a lot of us, we have a lot of jokes about Florida being a really old state, you know, and that's where everybody goes to die basically and retire. But, you know, maybe that's more south or something. But in central Florida, it's quite young median age. So that means there's jobs there. And here are some of them: medical, finance, aviation, aerospace, high tech, agribusiness. There's a big financial company that's just going in right in Pasco County. Here you can see this is where that road is widening. It's on 75. This is the property we're talking about. And then over here is slated for more residential. So the county is really, really wanting residential. They really want this property to happen and all of this. So definitely high pressure to develop this area. So it currently looks like this, but just 10 miles south is fully built out. Here's a better shot of the land we're talking about. Florida's flat, very, very flat. All right, so here's the history on this project. I think you'll find this interesting, Dipna. It was acquired in 2004 by the current owners. They invested approximately $84 million to develop it. Now, they were just planning on getting the entitlements and selling it to builders. These guys have, you know, the current owners have done this kind of thing many times, buy land, get all the entitlements, and then sell it to builders who want to just be able to start building, not deal with any of that. What do you call that in Australia? Do you call it entitlements?
No, it's a
when you're just
a subdivision, basically, is what you're doing. It's a major land subdivision. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then just selling the lots to builders once all the infrastructure is in place and they can just put the house up.
Yep.
So this property was in escrow for $160 million in 2006.
Holy moly.
So these owners, yeah, they were looking at, you know, doubling their money. So they were happy until 2007 rolled around. And that buyer couldn't get, you know, just financing just stopped. Everything came to a complete stop. The music stopped, and they were stuck with this thing. They did not close. The current owner couldn't find another buyer. Of course, we all know the history of Florida after that. So the owner went into bankruptcy in 2010. A plan for reorganization was approved in November of 2011, and Pasadena Equity Investors went into the bankruptcy court because he knew the owners. It was sort of a private deal, I guess you could say. It never went on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it tied up for $16 million. So a property that was in escrow for $160 million is now in contract for $16
million. Wow.
That's a pretty good deal.
Absolutely.
I thought you'd like that one.
I do like that one. I reckon I could even make money at that, those kind of odds.
Yeah. So this guy, Tom Direct, came to us and said, I see what you did with my partner Fred on the commercial side. Let's see if you guys are interested in working with us. So he came in. I had him talk to our syndication attorney who specializes in land and entitlements and took a look at it. And I've got some of his comments coming up so you can see. This is just a slide to show you that the city's really actively getting this area developed with a Pasco Town Center right there. The town center is going to be right next to our property right here. All these stores and big box stores and shops. Lots going on there. Again, this is the old plan, and the problem with this, with the entitlements, as they are, the place, it's already entitled. It's already, you could go in there and start building right now. The problem is builders don't want what's currently planned, because this is what was planned. It was planned for a golf course and like really high-end resort style homes. Schools were just an afterthought. They're here on the outside of the school of the property, and as you saw from the pictures, it's a really beautiful location, but they were just going to kind of undo all of that and just put in a bunch of golf courses. So it's not what builders want today.
No.
It's hard to believe that in 7 years the buyers want something different, but they do. They want community. Have you seen that?
I definitely have, and that's the trend over here as well. And golf courses don't make any money. I mean, golf courses to a developer are just wasted space. Really, they might help sell the project, but people think that they help sell a project, but the fact is that they don't make any money. They are expensive to keep and maintain. And they're certainly on the way out from a new build perspective.
That's right. That's right. So so that was his thoughts too. And Tom, the guy who's now in contract buying it from the bankruptcy court, he owned a golf course and it was a nightmare. And he knows, and builders know, they don't want this anymore. And there's plenty of golf courses. What people want is more of this sort of community feel. So this is the new design, and this green part is not golf cart course. It's just open space, kind of like you saw in those photos, just keeping the trees, keeping the rivers, the streams, very natural, sustainable environment with lots of trails and parks and stuff. They brought the schools inside, so you'd enter here, you come in, there's the schools, and then this little village, this is where there would be, the coffee shops and the yogurt shops and the little, the banks and, just like a little town center so the kids can go from school to go get their yogurt or, whatever, have some lunch. And it's just kind of, again, more community oriented. They come over here to our commercial property and buy their groceries. And so this is the plan that the builders helped Tom come up with. This is what they want. This is what they know that they're, that buyers want.
Yep.
So again, yeah, this is just sort of it's more of a village feel. I won't go into all these, but that's the change. So go ahead.
I was going to say, so what's the deal? I mean, you guys have come in with these new developers. Are the old developers still involved at all or not?
Nope, they're losing it. And, Tom, the new guy, is friends with the owner who's losing all those millions of dollars. So it's really sad. The current owners are only staying in because they are friends with Tom, so they're able to hand over all the documents that are needed, and they know the project inside and out. But the upside is really going to be to the new investors. So basically, I'm going to go kind of into the numbers, but yes, he is willing. There are so many deals like this, and people and the hedge funds and investors don't know how to entitle. And so he's just got these kind of deals left and right. He didn't want to tie up all of his capital picking this project up. When he saw what we've been doing and the investor group we had, he thought, I know if I come here and they help me raise the capital, I'll be able to, you know, take some of my own money. Right now he's got about, you know, 2 million tied up, and he's got another million he's putting in. So he's offering this us to participate at a $3 million capital raise, and then get 12% of the profit plus 15% annual return. So it's really a juicy return.
Okay.
So that's what's in it. You're not. This is the question that comes up from not just Australians, but from our Americans, our California investors. Everyone says, "Well, I want to buy a house there," you know, and unfortunately for Real Wealth Network, that's a conflict, because we want to sell it for top dollar, but we want to give our investors deals, so we can't sell it. You know, if we sell it to you, we're not going to discount it. And you know, I just want to make that really clear, that I think we need to find distressed property if you're going to buy a home, and this is not going to be distressed. Once we start developing it, we're going to be selling it for top dollar. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We've got plenty of properties that we can show you if you're wanting to buy a house in Florida. We certainly have that ability, but this is more of a land project. It is a very passive investment.
Okay.
So show me the
here's
numbers.
The numbers are coming just real quick. This is what my attorney, who has done over 200 syndications and specializes in real estate syndications for 33 years, what he was most interested in is that, you know, it's $16 million at the purchase price, and another about $10 million to do all the entitlement work and get the utilities in place. So we're talking about $27 million to make this happen and sell for, we're hoping, close to what the last purchase price was, because that's the market we're headed towards. So So basically, two very large, very well-known Wall Street hedge funds have decided to partner with Tom, the buyer, and they're taking up most of that. So they're putting in about 24 million, and that leaves 3 million that Tom was going to put in himself, and that he would partner with us on. So that gives us 10%. Of the overall returns, and the hedge funds get the other, you know, 90%. So what our attorney said he was so impressed with is that the hedge funds that are coming in have done just a tremendous amount of due diligence. It's what they do. They do this all over the country. They're experts. They're putting big dollars down, and the due diligence is excellent. Also, the investor risk is mitigated by use of leverage. It's all cash. So it's steeply discounted. We're being told that the property is really worth about $44 million in its current state. So that, with no leverage, makes it very low risk. It's what changing the master plan is going to be what the builders are looking for. And then it's going to be sold in groups of lots so that investors would get their capital back very quickly. Well, very quickly, within 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the main thing is the entitlements have already been done. All that environmental stuff has already been done. It's just a matter of changing the master plan from golf course to village. And the county wants it. They're behind it, and they want it moving along quickly. The developer thinks it's going to be about 9 months. Here's just a little bit about the developer. He has 23 years experience doing this. He's worked very closely with Fred Bates, who's done other projects with us very successfully. Investors got over 20% return on his last one, and that was in a really bad down market. So this is the opposite. We're moving in a really hot market. Here's just some of his past projects. I'll go through them quickly, but you can see he's done lots and lots of developments. This is not new to him.
Big ones, too.
Big ones, yeah, for sure. You saw one in there with, 600 homes, and yeah. Mm-hmm. So major risks, the major risk is if the rest of the world does what Cyprus just did. So, you know, if there's just a massive crash in the economy again, that would certainly be a risk. But it seems right now that when things like this happen in Cyprus, a lot of investor funds come back into the U.S., which seems to be a safe haven for a lot of people. So we're seeing money flowing back into the U.S. We're also seeing, again, just real estate values. There's a lot of predictions that real estate values are going to increase over the next 3 to 4 years in the U.S. So we really think we're at the beginning of the upcycle, and it should be at least 4 years. At least that's what lots of experts are predicting, and so am I. So went over this already. You don't have to worry about the accredited parts, the Americans that are having a harder time qualifying for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then so on the numbers, I didn't put them on here because there's rules about doing that. I can offer it to people in private, but I don't know. There's like U.S. rules about publicly sharing, but this is kind of a private forum, so I think I can do it. This isn't going to go public on the internet, right? Just to the private group?
Only to members, yeah.
Okay, so then we can talk about it. So again, the developer it's a $50,000 minimum, to buy a share into this. It's $3 million raise, so that's 60 investors that would come in with $50,000, but you could buy a half a unit too, which is $25,000. Then the developer, we negotiated with him that he needs to pay us 15% per year compounded right off the bat. That's preferred. So before anyone gets paid, before he gets paid, before the hedge funds get paid, that capital comes back with a 15% interest compounded, and 12.5% of Tom's share of it. So he's projecting, and our attorneys are projecting, a minimum IRR of 30%, and that's based on the numbers when he tied this up, which he tied this up in 2011. So that's based on 2011 prices, but those prices have really changed. But he's being very, very conservative for good reasons.
So tell me, what's the time frame that's expected to be?
Sure. Well, he's expecting to get the entitlements in 9 months. He's expecting to get the utilities in place over the following year, but can start selling the lots within 9 months, but he doesn't want to because we're in a market where prices are going up, so he'd rather wait. But we already have, one of the home builders just came and put in an order for 400 lots, but they didn't agree on a price. Yeah, Tom doesn't want to. He wants the prices to keep going up. I don't know if you remember, we did the Dublin project, and we were going to lock in a deal with a builder, but Fred decided at the last minute not to, and that was a really good idea because prices have just skyrocketed since then.
Mm.
So that's kind of the idea here too. It would be about, he's guessing about 2 years for investors to get their capital back, but he's saying 3 years in the offering documents to be conservative.
Yep.
And with each bulk sale, that goes first and foremost to pay the capital back, then the 15%, and then the profit.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. So that's it. My question to you, and I know we've talked about this before, but a few people have asked about their super funds. They can't invest in a project like this because it's a partnership. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult because it depends on the structure on the other side. If the structure on the other side is considered to be a company for our purposes, like tax purposes, then and it's got some sort of registration with it, and it's a registered organization, like a registered company like ours would be, then I believe they can. But what I would like everybody to do is to speak individually to their superannuation fund accountants on it, because some of the auditors are passing it. Now, it all comes down to what an auditor will pass, and there's a huge variance across the industry. It's very, very new to self-managed superannuation funds in this country, and some are saying yes and some are saying no, basically, is the bottom line. So I'd like everybody to talk to their individual advisors, and it'll depend on what their auditors are prepared to accept. Because it would need to be a direct investment.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, this would be...
It would need to be a direct investment.
Okay,
from
the meaning that the...
Yeah, not going through another entity. So not investing in something that invests in something else. It would need to be a direct entry of the superannuation fund here, owning direct ownership of whatever it is over there. And it depends on the structure that's going to be put together over there and whether that will be deemed to be a public listed company. I mean, Australian Superannuation Fund, for instance, can go and buy shares in a public listed company. It can go and buy shares in a private company, for that matter, provided it's it's an arm's length transaction and non-related party and all of this sort of thing. So there's a lot of rules and regs about it, which is why I'd like to see what the structure is going to be on that side. And then the superannuation fund would have to go direct. So it would be a direct ownership of the Australian Superannuation Fund direct into whatever it is over there. But I'm inclined to think yes. But as I say, take it up with the individual advisors.
Okay. It is set up as an LLC.
It's
a company.
LLC. Well, see, LLCs in recent years have been deemed to be companies under the Australian Taxation Act. Now, that doesn't mean it's under the SIS Act, which runs the superannuation funds, but it's certainly heading in the right direction. So again, I would say probably yes, but I'd like you to talk to your own individual advisors.
Okay, very good. That's great. But they wouldn't put the superannuation into an LLC and then that LLC
it would be
just
direct investment from the super fund into whatever it is they're buying.
And there wouldn't be a US bank account for that. It would just go straight from the US, I mean from the Australian account through an Aus4X or something.
Correct.
Into the
yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you. We had a lot of questions about that.
But again, it's something that the auditors are even giving different answers on. So some are passing them. But one thing I will say is with LLCs in the US, they have been treating them as companies, not partnerships or trusts or anything else. So that means that, you would be able to use them as a direct entry ownership structure in the US. But as I say, talk to your advisors. So we're heading in the right direction.
Okay, very good. All right.
So where do we go to from here? If someone is interested in knowing more about this particular project and how either their super money or non-super money could be involved and, get a memorandum and fund, of what's going on over there, how do they go about that? What's the next move?
They would just contact Maggie in our office. She's got all the documents. The attorneys are just doing their final review of it and should have it to us by Wednesday. And then we also have, I recorded a webinar with our attorney to give his comments, which I thought was extremely helpful because he's an unbiased party that looks at it. Let me tell you, he's turned a lot of projects away. I didn't use him on that very first Oakland project, and I darn it wish I had, because he is very tough. He has rejected many, many projects that we brought to him, and the ones that he's accepted and put his thumbs up, he's done a tremendous amount of research and asked a lot of questions of the manager and the developers. So, I think we'll be happy to send a link to anyone who wants to see his, the webinar we did with him. And then, just contact Maggie and she'll get you the paperwork you need to review.
Okay, very good. And there's nobody else that's going to be able to actually get into this offer. It's basically, the students, the hedge funds, which are taking up a large parcel. Like, it's not going to be something you go and buy on the stock exchange or in, IPOs or anything.
Nope, it's a private placement. And, the truth is, when the developer first walked into our office, I just said, oh my goodness, I don't know if there'll be interest or not, because we just did the, Florida project. We just closed that out. And he said, oh, okay, no problem. He already has his money in. He wasn't planning on partnering with anyone. He just thought, you know, wow, if he did, then that would free up some cash to go buy the another deal. And, you know, there's just so many. It's just, it's a small window, as we've been saying. And this is the time to acquire. And that's when you bring in money.
Yep.
Normally, we would never have this opportunity. So we, you know, we tested it, and we had a live event for our Americans this Saturday, and it was a packed house. And there's no need to put this on the public stock exchange. There's a ton of interest in it.
So tell me, Kathy, how are the tours going over there?
Well, that's the time to bring Jessica in. Are you here, Jessica?
I'm still here.
All right. I'll hand it to you.
Yeah, the tours are still going. We've planned a couple public ones, although I think we knew when we put those out there no one would follow them exactly. So we're taking a lot of private tours still. So we've had about 8 people come over this last month, and we have another large wave coming through for April and May as well. So lots of people coming through, a lot of interest in Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Charlotte, and Dallas right now. So we're trying to keep all the properties we can for you, but we're fighting the Americans now that they can get in on the game.
Good. That's good for the Australians, at least.
Yes, definitely, and definitely keeping things busy for me.
Well, that's what you like, Jessica.
Yes, very much so.
I can't emphasize enough that if don't wait, man. Do not wait. Prices, it's getting harder and harder to get good cash flow because prices are going up. And when prices go up, you know, you're paying more. That affects your cash flow. So, you know, don't wait too long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been saying that for a while now. Okay, guys. Well, thank you for being on the call. Is there anything else you'd like to cover before we close off for the day?
There's a quick question here. It says, hi, Divna, if we were to invest in this project, which structure would you recommend as the investor? I'm assuming this is outside the Superfund, the Piggy Bank Trust or a separate trust or US LLC?
Okay, it would be the Piggy Bank Trust could actually go directly in this case if you wanted to, or you could do it via an LLC in the US. It doesn't have to go through a US LLC, though. You could do it directly as the Piggy Bank Trust if you wanted to.
Okay, I think that's great for people. For non-super, yeah, okay. I think that's better because it is a California LLC. So if you have an LLC somewhere in the U.S. and it invests in the California LLC, you're going to have to pay those California $800 taxes. It's a new California law. So if you don't do that, if you just use your piggy bank trust, you're not going to have to pay that $100 a year to California.
Okay.
I mean, I live in California, so we love it when you pay our taxes, but no, we don't want you to have to do that. All right.
Any other questions that have come through?
Looks like that's it.
Very good. Okay, guys, well, thank you so much again. Looks like a good opportunity there, certainly a nice big one for us. And, you know, the ability to be able to get in on a ground floor on something that you normally wouldn't be able to get access to. So thank you very much for presenting that one to everybody, Kathy.
It was very exciting. Yeah, we're just thrilled that developers are looking at us. And then when banks come back and start financing these things again, we probably won't be as interesting to these developers. But right now, timing is great.
That's right. Yep. And obviously, you're presenting this to your American investors as well.
Oh, we have a big list already of people on the wait list. So this is definitely going to be a popular one. If you're interested, be sure to get all the information you need right away.
Yep, that sounds good. Okay, guys, well, thank you so much. I wish you could see what I'm looking at up here to absolutely everybody on the call. And
thanks a lot.
To anywhere to come and run away to for a week or so, I tell you what, I can't beat this place. Thank you, guys. Back again to talk to you very, very soon. And thank you, Kathy, again, and Jessica and Larry, who we can't hear, who's sitting over there in not too far from this particular development.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye now. Kathy, I think you have to log off first.
Oh, I do. Okay, let's see if I can figure out how to do that. End webinar.
The organizer has ended this session, and this call will be disconnected.